Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today, we are talking about gift giving, aka presents, something everybody loves, or do they? We're going to talk about how gifts actually affect your brain, as well as love languages, and even look at the evidence for whether experiences are actually better than gifts. I said better, but here we are.
You know what? Let's try it out. Better from now
better.
On.
It's my birthday podcast.
Yes.
I feel better. This will be my second quarantine birthday,
no.
So congrats to me for making this milestone. I know there are a few others who have probably also experienced this birthday at the very beginning of when lockdown happened.
It feels less ominous now because we know a little bit more about the pandemic, but pretty sad that we're still in it.
Yeah, and I feel that my first birthday, I kind of was like, you know what? It's kind of nice to not have the pressure to have a birthday. Like last year, I kind of felt nice that I didn't have to coordinate a party. What is wrong with me today?
A Bethan and a party.
I'm adopting an accent. I'm watching South African Survivor. Can you tell? so I have a new accent. I just was kind of like happy. But this year, I feel actually sad. I wish that I could have a party and see my friends and hug my friends and like just hang out with them,
oh
period.
My God,
so
sorry.
Obviously, I don't want to in the midst of the pandemic. It's just like if it was over, I would so be craving like a nice party with friends.
2022. Not three, not
better
three.
Better be 20. Yeah, you'll probably not have another pandemic birthday. I mean, it might
you
still be.
You keep saying that, but September, hon? I don't know.
I think by September, we'll at least feel comfortable having like people in our backyard. Maybe not like as big of a party as you wish.
Well, if it ain't a big party, I don't want it.
Drama queen. So this my birthday is obviously not right now. And we're also recording at a really weird time. We've never recorded a podcast at this time.
I know. It's
a
dark.
Monday evening.
Yeah, usually it's a Friday night. We've got that pep in our step.
Sometimes
yeah, even
we've got a
crack
drink.
Cider.
So now it's like I'm tired from the day.
But you have Big Brother to watch after this. So you're,
that's true.
You're excited.
I've got energy.
But this is your birthday podcast.
Yeah, my birthday will be on the Saturday after this. So okay. Like, feel free to wish me a happy birthday, because I figured we put it before my birthday, because after it's like we can't celebrate someone's birthday after the fact.
So this is actually just a really great way for you to get love on your birthday.
Well, yeah, I'm just like prepping everyone, make sure they remember
March 27th,
especially since I can't see anyone. It'd be great to have a little shout out.
Wow, birthday. I see where this came from. Smart. You're like, Greg, maybe we should talk about gift giving.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, so that's the podcast for today.
But I am obsessed with the science of gift giving always.
Yeah, it is fascinating. All right, well, why don't we get into what did we learn this week?
Sure. And,
so we can get there faster.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So I learned about, it actually triggered me because you recently made that video about bananas. Okay. And the fact that banana medicine tastes like a banana we no longer eat called the Gros Morne banana. Did you know it was called Gros Morne? Is it Gros Morne?
No. The Gros Michel.
Gros Michel.
Is,
Gros yeah. Morne is a national park.
Yeah, that it's yeah, like in Newfoundland.
Okay, wow.
I was like, did I say it wrong?
And
like,
also it's G-R-O-S and I love it. You were like, the Gros Michel. You don't pronounce yeah, yeah. the S.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, shout out to Parks Canada. Gros Morne yeah, Provincial Park is beautiful.
It honestly is. We've been.
I was going to say that I went to a really cool part of the neurons of my brain to pull that one out. The Gros Michel, sorry.
Yes.
Is the type of banana that we used to all enjoy. People argue it was a lot more flavorful and it was the taste of banana medicine.
Yeah. And to be clear, it still does exist. It just like there was a fungal disease that made it wiped it out.
Okay, so here we go. This okay. is what I learned.
Okay,
so
cool.
The banana that we all now consume is called the Cavendish banana.
Correct.
So 90% of global shipments of bananas are the Cavendish.
Bing. Mm.
So I'm reading a new book about mushrooms, fungi, mm-hmm. and you know what was the issue with the last one? A fungal growth.
Yes.
And now there's a new strain of it called TR4, the tropical race 4 strain of the same Panama disease, the same fungal disease.
That was affecting the Gros Michel?
Yeah. Is now wiping out the Cavendish banana. And they think in 2 decades, there will no longer be bananas that we can consume.
Oh,
unless they can figure out how to stop it. And their theory right now is that there's a South African varietal of banana that is not affected by the fungi, that if they can #CRISPR, CRISPR-Cas9, get the big fan in, so they can figure out ways like to genetically to modify it. The current Cavendish with some aspects of that banana, they can hopefully keep bananas literally on this earth and for us to eat.
Well, but Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, it's like not like they won't be on this earth. It's just they wouldn't be able to be mass produced in this way. That
yeah.
Far, which is like maybe a good thing. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. It's like we don't like dole on this podcast. But the interesting thing about this, about the book is it's just like fungi are so interesting and so complex. And the more that I learn about fungi, mushrooms, whatever, the more I'm like, I get why people are panicking, because once these fungal diseases get out of control, we don't get to go to our usual like antibiotics or like, right. or, like, yeah, or, yeah, like yeah. pesticides.
It's like, not it's like, so it's easy. To
not
be
so
like,
easy. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I haven't, I'm just at the beginning of the book, but the way that they're describing it, they're just like, the more you learn about fungi, the more everything sort of falls away about everything you think is true about the world.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm excited to read that book.
Like, anyways, so say goodbye to bananas, everyone. Enjoy them while you can. What'd you learn?
Truly, though, just as a side note,
podcast.
I feel like we haven't done that in a long time. Fungi.
Okay, so
all are acceptable, so far as I've been told, yeah.
Good, because when I read, every time I get to the F-U-N-G-I, my brain panics. I'm like, fungi?
It pretends, yeah, like it's just like fungi.
I force myself to fungi because I thought it was right.
And like fungi just sounds like the pun. Like
that joke.
He's a fungi.
And but at some point, some bully was like, "And Greg, you know what? It's not fungi anyways." When I made that joke to my friends in grade 6.
No, I'm pretty sure that part of it is just different, like parts of the world pronouncing it differently, and I think all are accepted.
Also, it's like when, like, okay, no, we're gonna, you're just what do we learn this week for the next month are gonna be from this book, so we're gonna get more
lots into, about mushrooms on the way.
We'll talk about spores later.
You're not gonna believe my what did you learn this week.
Celine Dion texted me what
imagine this week. I learned Celine Dion's hold number. My phone.
Oh, I would be so happy.
Although every time, like as another side note, every time on my TikTok when I get Rosie O'Donnell things, I'm like, this is meant for you, and I feel bad.
But you, okay, comment on them and then say subscribe to ASAP Science. I really think Rosie O'Donnell would like ASAP Science.
Well, and it's not always her page. It's often other people posting, and then all the comments are so positive. It's like she was the best host ever.
Rosie O'Donnell. And you know what? Rosie O'Donnell is so progressive. We're doing an episode on Rosie O'Donnell, first of all. So progressive. I think we already did. No, David. I'm like, so progressive, so forward thinking that of course Gen Z likes
is like realized that
it's
she
like
was
she
like,
was like
yeah.
on their level already.
Yes, that's true. Anyway, I should let you know that sometimes they're innocuous enough that I'm like, I'm not gonna save this because
save it.
Okay, fine.
Everything
I just like realized that our algorithm is shared, and I'm like, this was definitely for Greg.
Honestly, and if anyone here has like an in with Rosie O'Donnell, please send them ASAP Science. I just think she'd like it.
She would like it. She would.
I'm going to cry.
Okay. There is something called, and I'm probably not going to pronounce this properly.
Fungi.
The Mariko Aoki phenomenon.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
No. I know Steve Aoki, who did a song with Celine Dion.
So when you have this condition, quote unquote, because we'll get to that in a minute. When you enter a bookstore, you immediately have to poo.
Okay.
This has
shut the front
door. Do you ever
feel
that?
I'm going, wait, let me just picture myself entering an Indigo. And,
yeah, like a proper bookstore.
Actually, I'm not even going to put an Indigo in that. No. Indigo is like a Walmart of bookstores.
Think about
I'm going to picture like a local.
Cute
it smells like, you know, a little like mothballs. We're always going local. Well, might I say Book City or a different book list is where I buy my books. So I don't even know why I said Indigo. Can we edit that out, producer? Thanks. I'm going in. I mean, there's a woody, there's a paper quality to the air that might make me think I want to bake a loaf, which is what I call taking a shit. But I can't say I have this disorder.
Me either. And I'm very curious to now, when we can go back to bookstores, see. I've never thought of it. It's never occurred to me.
Okay,
but
of course so, you've never thought of it. This is insane.
So the first woman who expressed this was from Tokyo, and she wrote into a magazine, and it's never been officially diagnosed like a disorder or anything like that.
But
many people have since been like, I have that same problem. Like when I go into a bookstore, I almost always have to poop. And so there's a handful of theories. I will say, like, I have not like deeply researched this enough to know that. It is like there is no research on this because it's not like a disorder or anything.
So like, but don't you think that like arbitrarily there's just like if you go into a store at some point in your life, you're going to have to like it's just bookstores. Yes,
and they said not libraries, bookstores.
There has to be a capitalist like undertone to this.
That's like, so true. Yeah, it can't be given out.
Because to me, I'm like, maybe someone's panicked by books because it just makes them be like, oh my God, I'm intellectually inferior or something and I'm not even going to read a book. But then they were like, no, actually, it's the capitalist undertone of not a library.
Possibly. So, okay, here are the main theories. The first was that there's something in the ink chemicals that stimulates this urge.
Okay, we're really studying this.
A Japanese TV show actually tested making people smell ink to see if it would like trigger, because I think it's like a commonly known thing in Japan. Like, not that so many people experience it, but it's become this kind of thing. The other ideas are that it's just like a relaxing environment, so like your body is more likely to relax.
Yeah, the sphincter.
The weirdest one, there was a drawing for this, was like the position of your body when you go to pick up books is like you're bending over, and it like they were like maybe it's lining up your intestines. And the last one was like a possible Pavlovian response. So, but then it's like someone if you poo and read books at home at the same time, or like, you know, some people have like coffee books or like toilet books. Then they were like, maybe there's a world in which like a person who had
that. Oh my God.
But they're like, obviously it seems like too widespread of a phenomenon for that. So the bigger theory is like people just heard this woman say it. And a lot of people now, it's like frequency bias. Like they notice it.
Yeah.
When
I'm
going
to say,
and not when it doesn't.
The next time I go to my local bookstore, I'm definitely going to have to shit.
Yeah.
Like I just, after hearing this, I just know that's going to happen for me. All those theories are adorable
and never been tested theories. By the way, yeah, it's like this isn't real science.
I
was like, I have to talk about this.
I want to get my master's in this. You know what I mean? Like, I love that someone tested ink.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, that I just thought that was a fun little science. Okay, well, why don't
Let's
we take
do it.
A little break, and then we'll be back with the science of gifts.
Study time. Gift giving.
Presents. Under the tree.
Wrapped envelopes.
Candles.
Chairs.
Balloons. Cake.
Airbnb experiences.
I like birthdays. Do you? Like your own?
No.
You don't?
Wait, no, I do. I take that back. Like,
sometimes I don't know if you do or don't.
I like my birthday, but like all events,
right.
They come with pressure. Too much pressure and stress that I'm like, I think I like a random Saturday I just had birding more than my birthday.
Fair. There's two. Yeah, but, it's like New Year's Eve where you're like, there is just a lot going on, a lot of stakes to be like, have a great night and everyone be happy and celebrate. I feel like a birthday can be like that as well.
But it gives you like a good excuse to like take a day off of work or something that you wouldn't necessarily do because you feel like you're not owed that, although we're all owed that.
We are. And you know what's annoying? I lost my... Not only did I have two quarantine birthdays, it was a Friday and a Saturday. Like, I've lost my Friday, Saturday quarantine birthdays.
Ouch.
Although, maybe that's actually not that big a deal because when my regular birthdays come back, eventually it'll be like a weekday I get to take off.
And you're going to throw the party anyways on the Friday, then you kind of get the birthday
exactly.
that keeps on giving.
Like, you're going to... Exactly. So maybe
no, but
so
a real birthday on a Friday and a like Saturday is fun. And you just only have 7 more years until you get that back. 6, actually, till the Friday. But anyways.
Yeah.
I digress.
So talking about gifts more specifically, do you like gifts? Do you like getting gifts? Do you
I feel like you're burying
gifts?
The lead and you can just tell everyone about my problems.
What is your problem? You can talk about it, Greg.
Interviewing me. Who are you, Diane Sawyer?
Open up about my anxieties and neurosis on this podcast.
Okay, you
got
me.
Turn. I think it's your turn.
I have a problem with gift giving. You got and me.
Spit it out. What is it? What's the
okay,
problem?
Okay, you know what? I'm literally shaking. I feel like I'm going to barf. So let's start there. If I'm going to become one with what my body's feeling, it's nausea.
About talking about it or about giving it?
About everything. And about the fact that I'm like, yeah, I can see you smiling. And I'm like, I now. You were like, Greg, why don't we just talk about gift giving for my birthday? Wink. Watch him struggle. Okay, what is it? What is my issue? Okay, so I, you know, I'm an exuberant person. I'm a confident person. I'm loud. I'm these things. But I weirdly don't like when the attention is on me. I crumble when the attention is on me. And it's a really weird dichotomy in my life because I draw attention to myself. And
yes, like
at.
You very much as a human, people want to watch you. Like, you're
but it's
fun,
so
you're...
weird. It's like there's this way of being watched. It's like. Well, it's probably like why at a party setting, like I can kill it. But there's drinks involved. There's drugs involved.
Right.
And that can help me. You know, that can help me
loosen up. Get
deal
past
with
the
eyes on me. But it's like these real deep eyes of a gift. When someone gives you a gift, it's usually kind of vulnerable and beautiful. And I just have this thing where I get like really anxious and it's like, you know, the giving the gift and the look, them looking you in the eye. I'm like, and I panic and I want to get, I would way rather open the gift later alone Impressive. And I can take it so much in more. Like when they're there looking at you, I'm like, they're like performative, like, oh my God.
I love it.
And I'm honestly so out of my body. I'm like a spirit beside myself watching me open a gift every time. And it gives me so much anxiety. And it's like, it's just like to the point where friends sometimes will give me gifts now because I'm so open about it and be like, you can open this on your own.
Right. Like
people like no, because I've talked so much about this, but I'm working on it. I'm working on, you know, all eyes on me, baby. Learn how to cope with it.
Well, I would say I think a lot of people can relate. Like, even though I don't have it to the same degree, I know what you mean. There are times when I don't love the idea of, okay, this is what I dislike. When a group of people watch you open a gift. So I don't mind if someone gives me a gift and I'm opening it in front of them. That doesn't actually bother me very much. But I highly dislike when I have a birthday, for example,
and everyone's looking,
and suddenly I have to open 1, 2, 3, 4 gifts in
that's hell.
Front of everyone.
That's also the look. That's the type of looking. Like, it's like I'm like perform. It's like I was like
it
I didn't,
is a performance.
I didn't want
at that point.
To do like if I'm gonna do like I literally do stand up, and it's like there's at least lights in my eyes, and I can't see anyone, and I can just like,
at least
pretend.
For you, like you're. So what I would say for me in that moment is like. Even my genuine, when I'm like the most surprised, elated, shocked, my reaction is still often like, oh, wow. Right? Like you would know this. I'd be like, sometimes you are like, do you not like it? And I'm like, no, I really like it. Like not even a gift, right? Huh. Isn't that true?
Oh, yes. You are very like
I don't like show. Okay,
yeah.
Like,
no, wait, is that the wrong word? Sorry, like, I take like, it back.
Kind
edit
of,
it out.
Kind of
producer, edit it out.
No,
okay, wait. Mundane is not what I mean. What is the word?
I am like kind of. What is the word? It's like neutral, or I'm not overly exuberant. Even when I feel it, even when I'm really excited, I don't explode with.
But you do sometimes. You go blah, 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 and you spin
in my in a very safe environment. I might.
And it's about it's like it'll be like this rush over you, and it's rare, like
contained, yeah.
And it's always it's and it's just like. Blah, and then
but
it comes
when we're
out, and
like
then,
booking a fun trip or something, like yeah. I don't go like I'm so excited. I mean, I might, but oftentimes I'm like, wow, okay, I'm really excited.
I know we actually have problems with this in our relationship because I will like I love things so deeply, like I get so obsessed with things, and I'll like be like clawing at you to get obsessed with it. Like I'll be like, oh my god, I love it, and I'll be like, don't you love it? And you'll be like, yeah, it's good. And I'll be like, don't you love it? Like I get so
like, yeah, you're like, why don't you love it?
Yeah, I know. And then I'm like, okay, it's okay. I can love it a lot. And like, it's just like you, yeah, you. It's. What did you call it?
Well, I had just said neutral in that sense, or like not overly exuberant. And there is probably
you're
a
prudent.
Proper word. I am prudent. That is what I'm talking about. But I don't know if that's directly related. I just like, yeah, I think it's probably actually from a dark place if we want to go there. Like probably I'm afraid to be vulnerable in that sense.
Well, when you're a gay, you know.
Okay, we're putting this back on you. You're the one who doesn't like to be vulnerable with gifts.
But when you're a gay, getting overly excited is sometimes the times where people clock you and go,
true.
Gay? Mm-hmm. When you're younger. You know what I mean? So that's the saddest part about being gay is that people yucked our yum for so long.
Oh, gosh. I should practice just like being more excited. Okay.
I love that. I love
that's
the idea
my
of
work.
Practicing to be more excited. Yippee!
I honestly think about that a lot.
You I'm should.
Like, it's exhausting to me, though. To be honest, like sometimes I'm like, I should be more excitable around my friends. And then yeah. I'm like, but... Then I'm exhausted. It's like work.
Okay, then don't. Then don't do it.
Then, but like you said, drinks, whatever. But so yeah. I'm going to just, I have kind of two studies today, or one's just like kind of anecdote, and then we can talk a little bit more.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about love languages because this is what it reminded me of. So yeah. You know how people, so there is like this theory that was created by this guy about everyone in a relationship having a different love language. You could have the same as your partner, but there's kind of, I think, five main ones. I'll read them.
Gift giving is not mine, hun.
Right. So it's words of affirmation,
love,
quality time,
love,
receiving gifts,
nope,
acts of service, hmm, and physical touch.
Yeek.
So this, I believe he was a couples counselor, like a Christian marriage counselor. Who actually
of course this, he was right? Christian.
So I want to use these and talk about them, but what
Why?
I realized
it's
is
a
that,
science podcast.
Yeah, so
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But as looking into this, it's like none of it has ever been legitimized by any research.
Okay, but here I am going ping pong. This is a game of ping pong, but I'm like, but I like it.
So, okay, so the discussion around it, I don't, the person who invented it, his name is Gary Chapman. I believe there's also some like homophobic stuff that's happened with him.
He's like, you can give gifts and have a love language, but not if you're gay.
So, like that aside, I don't believe
we just did a lot of asides on that one. The homophobia.
I'm trying to say that he did not. I don't think he was trying to say this is empirical, whatever. I think he just found it a useful tool, in okay. therapy sessions
okay.
to get couples to be able to okay. talk about where they stand on this scale.
So this is you myth busting it.
Yeah, I'm myth busting it. Like there is and has not been any proper research on it.
Ooh, okay, I kind of want to talk about mine because I feel like it proves that gift giving is a love language no matter what, even if you don't consider it your love language like me.
It proves what?
That like gift giving is kind of always a love language and like good for us in a sense because It is a pro-social behavior, which I actually like looked up because I feel like in science they always say this is a pro-social behavior, mm-hmm. which is a behavior that benefits other people or society as a whole.
Okay.
Like I didn't, yeah. I like feel like I people have said it before and I've just been like.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like an evolutionary trait that benefits others.
Yeah, yeah. And like society as a whole, I thought was
like
kind of
altruistic.
Interesting. Yeah, and such as helping, sharing, donating, cooperating, volunteering, and in this case, they say gift giving. Mm-hmm. So based on a lot of past studies, I think studying gift giving is like very common. Like, you know, the introduction of studies, how they have like so many references as to why they're doing it. There were so many about like, well, this study found that it was good for this reason. And this study found that it was good for this reason. And like, they essentially were deciding that they're going to hook up fMRIs and have people give each other gifts while doing an actual task on a computer.
Wait, what? They're in an fMRI machine.
Also, not an okay, it's a different type of fMRI. They're like it's not like lying down. So what it is that they have, you know, like the
right. It's probably measuring their blood flow with one of those head things.
Exactly, it is blood flow. Okay. Oxygenated blood flow is what they're studying, and they take two friends, okay. people who have consider themselves to be friends to begin with. So it's not strangers, mm-hmm. which they think is important. And I was like, I think that's a really good thing to think about. Mm-hmm. Dyads, they call them, like a doublé of friends. And they put them behind a screen so they can't see each other. And they do a computer task. And then they stop for one moment and a gift is given from one friend to the other. And then they continue doing the task.
Okay. And the task is unrelated?
The task is unrelated. It's like intellectual, challenging things. And they would do it. Different groups, some groups, they would give the gift, start doing the task. And some people will be interrupted in the middle of the task for the gift and continue. So they're trying to like test factors, like what's going on in their brain, but also like, does it affect the task?
Right. Okay.
Okay. So what they found was that it did really help with the task, especially when it was done beforehand.
As in the task being something they had to complete.
Yes.
And the gift made them perform better.
And a lot of the task had to do with actually like working together. There were like memorization things. And the idea that they found was that giving gifts, what it does is it, well, also when they looked at the fMRIs, there was oxygenated blood increase in parts that have to do with working with others. Like this concept of like ego dissolution, like you and other people kind of things, parts of the brain is what they found is like was activated during gift giving. It makes you feel genuinely like connected to another person.
And that is related to the task.
Yeah. So they found that the task, when it was interrupted in the middle, there was not much increase, but they were, you know, they were grasping at straws a bit, but they did find that the task was completed better when a gift was given beforehand.
So you should give me gifts all the time.
I know. I was kind of like
during work.
I was kind of like, you know, like when you're showing up at a meeting and people are like, why brought donuts?
Yeah,
or whatever. Like there's just
coffee
like
coffee, or
it's just like, oh, like that gift, ways. Like that person is like on my side and maybe it helps your brain relax. Like,
yeah.
It was kind of confusing the way they discussed the oxygenated blood. Like, I wanted to know, like, what part of the brain and what did that do? But, like, it was really sort of, like, obscure in many ways. But what they were just trying to say was it was some parts of the brain that had to really do with, like, cooperative thinking and working with
others. That's cool. That's nice. So just knowing that gifts can be a positive force in your work environment, especially.
Exactly. That's, like, kind of
away. And that kind of gift, too, is probably less pressure. Like, a spontaneous gift is just a nice thing. Like, if you were given a spontaneous gift, would you still have your meltdown?
So I don't have a meltdown. It's like I do feel good. Like I related to this, like teamwork. Like it makes me feel like my interpersonal relationships are good when there's gifts being given. I love receiving gifts. I just like it's just not super natural for me. And it's not like to go back to maybe we myth busted my love language. It's like I love time with people.
I want to role play right now.
Okay.
This is a gift I bought and it's not me. I'm not your partner. I'm just like someone at your
okay,
work.
Okay.
And I want to see how you react.
What are setting am okay, I in?
You're working as a teacher right now at school and I'm another teacher and it is not your birthday or anything.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah. I'm just like,
bold.
Oh my God, Greg, I saw this. I wanted to give you this. I just saw, I know it's kind of weird, but I wanted to give you this gift. Here, take it.
Oh my God.
Because, I don't know, it made me think of you and I just wanted to give it to you.
That is so sweet.
Open it.
Oh, yeah, I have to open it. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God. You thought of me on your spare time. Flirting. Okay.
Okay. He's opening it.
Oh, my God. It's a little ceramic toad. I love toads,
right?
Yeah. Oh, that is so sweet. Where did you get it?
I actually just found it at a little cute antique store.
Oh, my God. That is so adorable.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like I'm panicking, does it?
No,
I'm a good actor.
You're performing. Can't give it
Thank
back.
Thank you. And I'm also going to bomb it.
You, yeah. So then I think maybe.
That was nice.
Yeah. And
I liked that.
And having role played, I think people don't realize that you have that emotion. I think maybe it's like mostly internal for you.
Me or all people? What?
For you. Sorry. Okay. Let me re-explain that. I think like you talk about how getting gifts can be so stressful and panicky.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think you're pretty good at performing
the
gratitude and the thanks. And that maybe most of it is internal.
Yeah. And I think the friends who now know this are because I've had this conversation with them outside. And they have been like, oh, really?
I do love gifts. Is times when you'll say like, oh, thank you. And you do try to minimize. Like you might be like, put it somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're always like, thank you. But I think there are times that maybe your friends would be like, oh, you could open it now.
And I like giving gifts too. It's the same thing with giving gifts. I really like giving gifts, but it's like I will actually give them the gift and then go hide.
Right.
For their open. I remember I painted a painting of my nephew and our dog for my sister.
Yeah.
And I like gave it to her and ran away in my mind. Like, I remember running away and then being like the paint's wet, it's not good, or like, do you know what I mean, like downplaying it, like and then it was like she was like, this is a really
but are you running
gift.
Away to avoid the praise back, or are you, is it to give them the space to not have to awkwardly
it's to get the praise back, because sometimes like because I paint back. Like painting someone a painting, it's like I always know that's like a pretty epic gift,
and that it's like a little bit like reflects on you and your ability more,
but it's actually more like in that setting it was like everyone's giving gifts and it's like they're opening these like Fisher Price things and then there's this like very sentimental painting.
Right.
It kind of like there's also this part of me that's like I don't want to like be like the annoying one who like Trump. Like I don't think of things like that, but I think other people do.
Yeah.
Some I don't know. These are just the things that flood my brain and then I run away and I give like I love giving meaningful gifts and like but I run away.
No, I definitely agree. Like I wouldn't like to be the person who I don't want my gift to be the best gift. Or like
but
it would
not,
never I would never value judge gifts that way. But I would be nervous if I got someone a really good gift and it was like at Christmas where people were sharing gifts.
Yeah.
I would be like, I don't want people to think that
or
was
it's just
trying to get the best gift.
The stakes are higher when you know yours is the best gift. But it's just like you run away, it's just like a flooding and it's like I think some people are really good at being like, you know what, this is so beautiful, here's the gift, look in my eyes, enjoy this thing I gave you, and like they're really good at that and I want that but I don't have it naturally.
It's like being able to pause and take it in on both sides, which sounds like a gay porn, but honestly, like when you give a gift it is nice, like you're doing something that is very nice and making somebody feel good probably.
And you thought about it for so long,
so why not get the kick out of
exactly.
it? And then when you receive a gift, why not get the kick out of it?
And we just realized physiologically it increases interpersonal and teamwork parts of your brain due to oxygenated blood flow according to an nfmri. So like, why not? Actually, that kind of science stuff helps
but
me,
I think
honestly.
It's a bit like, socially, it's like social behavior, it's kind of like blushing. Like I bet your characteristic of that is also kind of endearing. It's actually signaling that you don't want to be like, there are people on the extreme other end that are annoying, who like want all the attention, want all the gifts, who are calling the attention to like how good a gift is in front of everyone else. So I think kind of where blushing is this like signal that you are humble or that you
hate
are.
That I blush.
But it is a thing that people think probably is really endearing.
But as much as like, even if people think that's endearing, I'm like, I'm talking about me. I want to enjoy it more. You know what I mean? Like I want it for me. I want to be able to feel the joy of the gift that I gave.
But you can.
I know, and I will. And I will work on it. Namaste.
All right. Last little segment. Gift versus experience.
Okay.
As in a physical present versus a gift that is, we're going to do this thing. Which do you prefer?
Oh, my God. Experience. the Boots house down. experience for me.
Would it be easier or harder for you to engage with a gift given to you that was like, say, a card that was like, I booked us
so
this.
Much easier.
Why?
Because I go, oh my goodness, oh, I'm so excited. I guess it, like, it's so much easier for me to like perform.
You can kind of project the energy elsewhere.
Yeah, the ceramic toad, I have to in the moment be like, look at the toad.
Right, you have to comment yeah. on like, it's so intricate.
You can talk about your plans and oh my God, yeah, it makes it easier.
Oh my God, what about having you? To talk out you? Loud about a gift is actually painful.
Yeah.
To oh, be I like, love the oh, the wood is so.
It's so real. It looks like a real toad.
And the ombre of it.
Yeah.
I think,
what about you?
Yeah, I think almost always experiences are what I prefer, especially because I think gifts in general, we're at an age and we have a comfortable life enough that if I want
yeah,
something,
what do you
I
want?
Can get it. That's you know, so like there. Of course, it's nice to receive a gift, but there's nothing that I'm like, I need this. And that if I really needed something, I think that kind of gift would be maybe more satisfying because I'd be like, oh my gosh, I've been wanting to get yeah. this. And I just like... Either couldn't find it, didn't have the money, or those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I feel lucky enough that I don't have to. I'm just kind of like, if I really wanted something, I could probably just.
And an experience is a gift that keeps on giving.
It is. So I have a study about this because we're often told that experiences
yeah, right.
are a better way. Yeah. There's lots of studies in the past that yeah. have kind of said, you know, it is better to spend your own money on experiences yeah. over things. So okay. instead of spending $3,000 on a rug, spend it on a trip, right? So this study compared the level of happiness in children looking at how they felt when they received material goods compared to their happiness level from experiences.
Okay, this is so key. Children, okay, yes. What ages are we talking?
We're talking, I don't know, anything you consider a kid. They've okay. they've delineated something. I'll give you an age range in a second. But
okay.
It was just, I'm sure, I don't know how high it went, but ultimately they found that kids between the ages of 3 to 12 actually got more joy out of material things.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't surprise me about those 3 to 12s.
Older kids were appreciated experiences more.
Because at that age of 12, you go, take me to a concert, dad, mom.
Once you hit the past 12, you mean?
You know what I mean? 12 right. is when I totally am like, Laser Quest is better than this baseball glove.
Maybe. I guess there might have been like some cool toys still at 12. Like I probably still wanted like Nintendo games.
Yeah. But you know what
but
I mean?
But that is an experience, to be fair.
Yeah, Zelda's an experience.
Zelda's an experience. A quote that I just like grabbed
that's
from
interesting because it's so true. Like I think about kids and I'm like, they don't want an experience.
Well, part of it is that they, or at least the sort of theory from the lead author of this study was that kids don't remember as much.
Yeah.
So when you give them an experience, they have a good time, but they don't hold on to it the way that adults can relive yeah. an experience.
And they don't have the foresight to be like, oh, yay, this happens in the future. They're like, no, gimme a mana
yeah.
from me
and
right
they,
now.
They had said like, if you give them a Lego set, they get to enjoy it. And then when they see it again later, they get to enjoy it again.
Lego's such a good gift. Guys it out is. There, I don't know if you heard about this Lego, but I think
L-E-G-O.
Kids would like it. It's experience mixed with material in the moment.
Gift. To be honest, to me, as I was reading this study, I was kind of like, I think all gifts for kids that age are experiences because everything is a new experience. If you're like 4 years old, a True. Gift that's a physical thing is still an experience because you're like coming across something that you've probably never seen before.
Yeah,
it's like
true.
The whole thing is a kind of experience. And then often it's like
everything
a game.
Is a good and new experience when you're a kid.
I know, yeah.
It really so is. It's like even that's so true. It is an experience.
And then often it's like a game that you play with your family or yeah. like a toy that you play with other people. So.
But I totally love it. It's like a spa day, 10-year-old. They're yeah, just they're like no. Yeah. Like it's so weird how spa days become this thing else. Like it's such a like there's such a
there's
disconnect.
An age where like spa day becomes
it's
ideal.
Like, I want to turn myself off where the kids are like, turn us on.
What age is spa? Like what
spa
age do you go from I'd rather do something
okay.
more high energy?
I know what age I think spa is for me.
Okay, when?
I think spa for me is 27.
Really? That late?
Yeah, I really went bold, but I think it was 27 for
I
me.
Think I was ready for spa.
But
like
be honest.
21.
21, okay. Interesting.
So it's like after university when I'm like,
can drink in America.
I'm burnt out, girl.
Okay, 21. I can get behind 21. I actually think now that I said 27 out loud again, it feels wrong.
I think. Definitely. Like, although you are a different person.
There was just this time where the spas start. Maybe, yeah, the spas were happening around me from people at 21. But for me, it hit at 27.
Okay.
And I am a bit of a kid energy where I like, I'm a doer.
Yeah, you don't even love spas that much today. Like, you like them, but I think, and I also, I don't love spas. Like, I just love like massages and like.
Yeah, now I'm like,
sometimes a spa, you're like, it's kind of gross.
But it's such a gift. It's such a quintessential gift.
It is.
It's just like a spa day because it's like, we know you work hard. And, and it is an experience. That the spa day is an experience. It's a future experience. It's an easy gift to receive. You go, I'm so excited to get the facial in the future.
Yeah, that's true. One other thing I'll say about this is this experience versus gift thing, it's like kind of a good reason not to bring your kids to Disney because like they aren't going to remember
it. Oh my God. Disneyland is for adults.
Until they're older.
Until
you're an age where you can
cognitively
remember.
Cognitively developed people, because it's like, it is such a waste. When we went to Disney as adults, had a lot of fun, but I took the biggest takeaway, other than I wrote in my journal that Disney, what did I write, made me actually understand that life is worth living or something. Like, it really worked on me.
We had a really good day.
But it was that I would never bring my kid here.
Right.
Like, never. I've been like, I'm never going to allow my kid to understand that they could go to Disney.
Not until they're, what age would you
take a kid? Spa versus Disneyland.
Maybe the kid's never going to Disney, but.
No, like, no, the kid's going to Disney at 13 to 16.
That's pretty old. Like, I have very distinct memories from the age of 10.
Not 10, no.
You think that's too young?
Too young.
I mean, this did say,
yeah, what was it, the cutoff?
3 to 12, yeah.
I'm using this study. They want material things till 12. We're going to Disneyland at 12.
I have been to Disney before the age of 12, and I think I have quite fond memories of it, but maybe.
But you know what I mean?
Maybe I'm just like hyper intellectual.
Yeah, that's true. When you got a really smart kid like a Mitch Moffitt, you go, you know what? I can push that 12 up to 10. But certainly not the ages I was seeing at Disney. I was like, you're wasting. Yeah,
that kid's in a stroller.
That kid is in a stroller. That kid is screaming. That kid is hot.
It's like when they're in a stroller, they also like can't go on the rides.
And it really is designed to make your kids go crazy and want everything in sight. And then all it is just like these parents putting them in this hell of having to regulate their kids' selves. Gosh. You know what I mean? Like, everything is making a noise, and every noise coming out of a parent was anger and frustration of being like, calm down. I'm like, well, of course I can't calm down.
What a wild, wild thing, Disney. To be there and to see parents with a 4-year old. Lots of them are well behaved. It's just I'm tired by noon. I'm like, aren't these kids tired?
Yeah, we needed a nap.
Yeah.
We slept on the ground of some weird like movie theater.
Mickey Mouse theater thing.
And we were on edibles. Disneyland's for adults on edibles. Oh, you were?
No, were you?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
I was not. I would never. That would be my nightmare.
Oh my God. I'm like, you weren't? I would never go to Disney not on an edible.
Wow, because I'm connected with my inner child and don't need drugs to find it.
Yeah, and I, on the other hand, never really loved that Disney thing and do need drugs to find it.
Okay, so last question of the day. What is my gift for my birthday?
What I'll say
I'm joking.
Is it's an experience.
Oh, okay, great.
And I'll leave it at that.
That's what I want. We're going to Disney. We're going to Disney! In 2025. Is Disney open right now? I think it is.
That's scary. Okay, thank you for listening.
Hashtag Side Note Podcast if you want to tell us about your favorite gifting experience.
Also, give us ideas. Someone did reach out recently and say you never followed through to do an episode on salads.
Oh, we're going to do that. Yeah, so we probably say a lot of things in this podcast that we forget about. So
like Rosie O'Donnell has an episode, but salads is going to happen because there's a lot of science behind salads.
And I have very strong feelings about salads.
He does. He's always
every
like,
day we
Greg, don't even show me a salad because I'm not eating it. I'm like, just relax. It's just leaves.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Peace. See you guys later. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.